Welcome to Steppin' Out, the 12-step meeting on the air. Tonight you'll meet real people with true stories of addiction and recovery. And now, Steppin' Out.
Hello and welcome to America's 12-step radio show. My name is Drew and this is Steppin' Out. With us, we have our guests from Al-Anon to share with us their experience, their strength, and their hope. Al-Anon is a fellowship for folks that have dealt with active alcoholism in their lives and how they have had the opportunity to overcome some of those challenges of living with an active alcoholic. Up first, we're going to talk with Mark. Mark, you know, what's it all about? Tell us a little bit more about the fellowship, about what your experience was like in it.
I've joined a little over 2 years ago.
Okay.
On the advice of a therapist I was seeing. She had diagnosed me. She had diagnosed my story as Al-Anonic in nature.
Okay.
She said my father was a rageaholic.
Okay.
And she said I should go to these meetings.
All right.
I didn't know anything about it, and I ignored her advice. And I was on the floor of a hospital doing something else, basically, when this meeting was convening, when all these people were going into this other room.
Okay.
And in my loneliness and despair, I took my sad self into this room, and it turned out to be an Al-Anon meeting.
Hmm.
And I knew what it was. She also was, she was semi-retiring as she was phasing me out of her life. In a practice, she was moving to another state.
Okay.
And so then she was conducting Al-Anon meetings with me, just the two of us, and I didn't even know it. And she was telling me that she was doing this. And only as I was starting to go to the fellowship, I realized that that's what she was doing.
Well, let's back up. I want to take you back to your childhood. Where does this start, you know, the feelings that pointed to you towards Al-Anon start?
6 years old.
6 years old.
Yeah. First grade.
Okay.
After kindergarten, you eat. You go home to eat.
Okay.
In the first grade, you don't. You, like, sit in the lunchroom.
Right.
That's where it started for me. I got sick, and I needed to go home. I thought I needed to leave and not be around my peers.
Okay.
And it came out later in therapy that was about rage, my father's rage. It affected me in my stomach.
Okay. Was he a heavy drinker?
No, he wasn't a drinker.
Okay. Where was the alcoholism in the family?
It was rageaholism.
It was rageaholism. Okay. Okay.
Do I have to leave?
No, you can stay. Please stay.
Thank you.
No. And let's talk about this. Define rageaholism.
In me, in the little organism that I was growing up in, I was just, the similarities are unpredictability.
Right.
You don't know what the hell is going to be going on.
Exactly.
They can be, and you're feeling just, and so that gets in my system. Other people become people pleasers. You'll hear that in the Al-Anon rooms. Walking on eggshells, you hear in the Al-Anon rooms. With me, it was all internal. And plus, I had depression.
Okay.
And I probably had a genuine clinical depression.
Going back that young?
Going back to about 10, 11
years old.
And also the manifestation of these being the son of a rageaholic. Not knowing what to do with it, and all this manifesting in my body, in headaches, stomach problems, and
did your dad beat you and stuff? Or?
There was some of that, but not to excess.
Not to excess. Okay.
And then the depression set in, so I stopped going to school. One day, I dropped out of life at about 12 years old.
Just dropped out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you, I probably had a problem around by my bar mitzvah.
Okay.
I didn't know who to invite. Like, the emotional problem I had was all the kids were being bar mitzvahed, right? And I was, like, late in the year. And my father was in my life, and he was inviting himself. But he wasn't a friend of mine. He was causing me a lot of problems, interior problems.
Okay.
And I didn't want to invite him, but he was coming. And he was insinuating himself in my life all the time. And so I started not inviting the people who I wanted to invite and inviting the people, like the kids I fought with.
Like, well, why was that?
Well, because I thought that's what you did. I was confused.
Okay.
Because that's what I was. My father was inviting himself, and I saw him as somebody I fought with.
Oh, okay.
So the kids in the playground that I fought with, I would invite.
I got you. That makes sense. Okay.
All right. The other problem I had was with food.
Okay.
I would only eat the foods I ate, very limited foods. And the only foods I ate was when I was a kid, before I would eat with the family, when I was only a young child, before I was old enough to eat with the family. But my father scared me so that the variety of foods that I ate only before I was old enough to sit down with the family, I ate. Does that make any sense?
You follow? Yeah, I'm with you.
All right. So then they wanted me to eat the other foods, and
okay.
I wouldn't do it because I was too scared. It was like only I could hold on to the comfort foods that I was introduced to before I could sit down with the person who scared me so.
Okay. Well, you know what? Help me visualize the rage in the household. Help me paint a picture of your dad.
He wasn't. I don't know. He would. My mother and my aunt, who they would see it. I never knew if they would see it, but then I heard that they could see it. And the way I knew that they could see it is they would say, "Mark, wait, you're going to push him over the edge. You're going to give him a heart attack." So they could see it too, what I could see. But their way of dealing with it was like to walk on eggshells. But I didn't buy that idea.
Okay, so you were confrontational with your father then?
Apparently.
Yeah. Okay. No, I appreciate your honesty. If you wouldn't mind, I want to get a better picture of what this was like for you growing up here.
It was a horror scene. Once I stopped going to school, it became an all-out war.
Okay, so you're just home all the time when you're not going to school. So
an all-out war.
And he probably wasn't too happy with having you at the house, huh?
It was an all-out war.
And you what? This is right after your bar mitzvah, did you say, 13?
Yeah.
Somewhere around there?
Yeah.
Okay.
He used to take my keys from me. He used to come out wherever I was in the neighborhood and humiliate me, take my keys from me. It was a war.
But you weren't scared of him.
Oh, my body was.
Your body was. But you would still confront him.
As best I could. I knew not to get into physical battles with him because there was always that legal entanglement, the possibility. They would send me to boys' schools, but the police would come.
Okay.
And I knew to not get into a physical thing because they want to get rid of me.
Right.
You know? And my only... In the boys' schools, most of the kids were there by court mandate.
Okay.
And my only, you know, I had no court record. In the circles I was traveling, I was like the only kid without a court record. And it was like perplexing to the whole world how I don't have a court record and I'm traveling these horrible circles.
Did you ever turn to drugs and alcohol yourself?
Never did. I turned to delusions.
Okay.
One night I was sleeping in the stairway when my keys were taken away.
Uh-huh.
Actually, it was one morning, and I realized my mother was in on it with my father, meaning my father took me out that morning. He would take my keys from me the night before.
Okay.
And during this phase of time, I was allowed in at night, which I was grateful for, because during another phase of time, I was kicked out for the entire night. Sometimes I rode the trains, I went to Penn Station or different things. I never turned to prostitution or drugs or alcohol. And the reason is I turned to delusions.
And welcome back to Steppin' Out, America's 12-Step Radio Show. We're here tonight with our guests from Al-Anon. If you want to find out a little bit more about their fellowship, you can visit them online at www.alanon.org. Also, if you're in the New York City area, you can call 212-941-0094. If you want to reach out to us here at Steppin' Out, you can visit us online at www.steppinoutradio.com. There's a newsletter there you can sign up for. If you want to drop us an email, just say hello. We'd love to hear from you. Before the break, we were talking with Mark. Mark had something of a non-traditional experience in Al-Anon. He didn't have active alcoholism, per se, in his household, but yet he grew up with this rage-filled environment, and he had this huge father figure who bullied him, for lack of a better term. But yet you had the courage to confront him on a lot of these issues, but you were physically ill in his presence. And, you know, why don't you continue on with your story, Mark? Where are we now?
Right. So they didn't accept me. The exact words, I believe, were, "We're not going to enable you to stay home with a refrigerator and a TV. in your teenage years.
Okay.
Just not going to happen, Mark.
And that's because you shut down, dropped out of school. You're like, that's it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
At some point, I had this at the very core of me. In my child's mind, I remember very vividly calling it my smelly stuff. It would come up from the core of me in a belch. And this is what happened at the very the table at first grade and all through school. And I would leave whatever class I was in and go shoot baskets all by myself. It was anxiety. It was my smelly stuff. And one time I threw it up in my house and my mother smelled it. It came up and it vomited up.
Yeah.
And she said, "Oh my God, Mark." And I tried to say, "Mom, this is what I live with. This is in me all the time, all the time." She said, "You should go to bed. You're sick." And from then on, when I felt it, I used to say, "I'm sick. I'm sick. I'm staying home today." And then at 3 o'clock, I would go out and shoot baskets because that's what I did every day when I had this and I left the class.
Right.
And then she said, "Oh, you're faking because... You're faking because you're obviously faking because 3 o'clock school's over and now you're going out and you're leaving the house and you're going to play basketball."
The truth is, you were just sick of the house.
This is the way I've always dealt with my anxiety or smelly stuff.
Wow.
And then from then I was forever a liar, and a manipulator.
Like how? What sort of ways? Just to protect yourself?
Yeah, just to protect. I was always just getting the short. Shrift here. The story I was about to tell before the break.
Please do.
The keys were taken from me because they're not going to let me stay home and enjoy the pet in the refrigerator.
Okay.
I'm not even dressed. My father gets off from work, so he physically removes me from the house. The next time that door is open is my sister is going to leave for school a couple of hours later. So that's when I spend the time in the stairway of the apartment building that we live in. And that's, I'm basically sleeping there or trying to or walking up to the roof or just killing time.
Mm-hmm.
And then gauging when my sister's going to leave. And then when the door opens, you got to remember the humiliation of the other neighbors on the floor and the whole business of... And like, how did I get myself into this? Of course it's easier to go to school if I could and...
Mm.
Man, oh man. And plus, you know, the whole thing's a nightmare. And then one time, this is the day that something inside me broke. My sister was leaving. I'm coming from the stairway door into the apartment. And my mother goes to shut the door. And, the look of disdain on her face, as if the audacity of me, Mark, to come in.
Mm.
She literally pushed my sister, like, to keep me out all day. So I've got to stay out there in whatever I was wearing there in the dirty stairway all freaking day. I didn't eat, all that. It doesn't make any sense.
Mm.
So I broke. That's when I went to delusions. I would have either went to gangs, drugs, because why do kids go to gangs? To feel love, to feel family.
Sure.
She ceased to become my mother. I ceased to be a part of that family.
No, all normal
day.
Roles got dissolved there. Yeah, absolutely.
Everything happened. I took on another family that I really believed. I made up a fantasy mother. I made up a fantasy daughter. I don't know why. I made a crazy kind of family.
Okay.
I was 14 or whatever. I made myself a father of a 3-year-old girl. And every time in stress in the rest of my life, I went back to that family. I guess it stopped me. When I went to Penn Station and I saw the seedy side of life and Port Authority and young boys my age surviving from Oklahoma or whatever. And then later on in life when I became homeless in my 20s and stuff.
Why were you homeless?
Because I went to a psychiatric hospital.
Okay.
For this is when Prozac came out.
Okay.
And it didn't help me, and I left the hospital in a daze of psychiatric medicine and side effects with a slip in my paper for a homeless shelter. It was just a nightmare when I put myself for help.
How long were you on the streets for?
I wasn't actually on the streets. Well, I was on the streets, but I was 5 months, five to six months, I was homeless. I found what they call a TLC, inside the New York City homeless shelter. There was a place in the South Bronx on the top floor of a shelter that had a transitional living community with people who were diagnosed with mental illness, and I just came from a hospital where I was diagnosed with depression, so I lived there.
And that was also the hospital where you heard about Al-Anon, or was it not?
No, that was many years before.
That was many years before. Interesting.
Yeah.
Do you attend other fellowships?
No.
No. Okay. Do you have other? Do you attend therapy?
I did from all of my life. Yeah. Currently, I'm not. All the therapy that I attended all of my life was good, and I had what therapists describe as aha moments and insights. But you know what? All that is good, and I could speak a lot about that. But right now, I'm just working with my sponsor, going through the steps.
Excellent.
And
excellent.
That's where I'm at right now.
So after this horrible period of homelessness, I mean, where's your story go next?
It goes even worse. I live again. All my life, it seems, and I can't explain this, just like I wanted to be just alone in my teenage years.
Yeah.
I that's how I wanted to be the rest of my life also. Mm. I had urges, but they weren't much more than urges to live, to go out, sex urges, life urges. But they weren't passions, and they weren't normal. I don't know what I was. I just know that I wanted mostly to be left alone. And why I went to Al-Anon and why I go so often, I go like 2 times a day
for
2 years, and I work the steps. And I think it's because up to about 30, so past my mid-30s, all I wanted to do and all I did do is live in a room,
mm-hmm.
and not much else, except to quickly make a living and get back to my room. And I had very little expenses because I had very little interest in life, and I wouldn't know how to pursue them anyway. And that's very scary because I could die. I could go to 80 like that.
Sure.
With no friends and family and just an empty, 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 lonely, lonely existence. And it was barren, and nobody fills you up, and I don't know how to fill myself up.
But Al-Anon is offering you some hope today.
Hope only.
That's the word. That's the word. Mark, thank you so much for sharing your experience with us. This is America's 12-Step Radio Show. My name is Drew. This is Steppin' Out.